The following presentation was recorded at the 2014 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Now, Brother Darrell, in the sectional meeting this morning, he said he thinks we ought to talk more about the church. We talk a lot about kingdom, but maybe at the expense of the church sometimes. And the church, he says, is where kingdom living takes place. I like that. One thing I've already thought of, we talk about the kingdom. Why do we talk about the kingdom? What makes a kingdom? What makes a kingdom? Go ahead. That's right. So shouldn't we say to live king-focused lives? Wouldn't that be more scriptural? We're called on in the Bible to live a life full of Christ, right? Devoted to Christ, filled with His Spirit, and obedient to His will. He's King. That's why there's a kingdom. How does that look like? So maybe we can just try to visualize. So this is lives, we don't have to worry about all this other struggles, but you visualize, what does a life look like that? And I know it's difficult to define, but what would you say? What are some things that are evident in a life that is sold out for the Lord and is focused on the King, our Lord Jesus? Or are we all there? Service oriented, okay. Can you hear that back there? How they use their free time is where their shows where their priorities are, okay? What else? That's right. And do you have a scripture verse? You just said a beautiful thing there. We read that, don't we? So he thought he was in the form of God, but he didn't think it robbery of equal with God. What did he do? And the form of the servant is not self-focused, but it's master-focused, right? Thank you. Bring God's kingdom in God. So it's not just a cause, it's bringing a person, right?
Yes.
That's right.
And His authority.
And His authority. Thank you. Good thoughts.
I'm thinking also of the verse that says that Christ for our sakes became poor, that we through His poverty became rich. And that's the sentiments that I was hearing in your first address,
yeah.
Which we're hearing here again.
That's right. It's a very good verse. Thank you for that. That doesn't mean we're agreed. We need to work. We need to have businesses. But the difference between having a business with a king-focused attitude is it's all for Him, right? And it's all for His kingdom. It's not for ourselves. And I think then there will be time given for service. There will be money available. And it's not a means to itself, but a means to a greater end. And we just know that life is way too short. You know, I'm getting older. Life will soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. And it's too short and too important to waste our time with the pursuit of only the temporal at the expense of the eternal. Okay, and the next one is more a rhetorical question. It's just a question for us to examine ourselves. What is my attitude toward the poor and less fortunate? How does it compare with that of our Master? Because I just simply speak out of my frame of reference where I hear people can talk pretty freely, critically, and down in Anabaptist circles about poor people. And says all they need to do is just work. And I touched on that in the presentation. And my burden is that we move past that. Now, the next one, I know this is a big one, but I'd still like some feedback and help us think on these. How can we in our schools help cultivate an atmosphere of joyful, humble, heartfelt service, both within the student body and to the local community? I give an example. So one of the teachers in our school called and says, do you have someone we could help? It was just before Christmas vacation. Well, I had someone. I didn't want to just send them to anyone, that age group. So I thought I had someone. And so they went, but it was a bitter cold day. And so I said, go ahead and sing for her. And then I talked to her and said, well, how did it go? And says, well, yeah, it was all right. Says, they didn't seem very happy. Well, so we had that kind of relationship. So, and the teacher didn't seem so happy. Well, I have a feeling maybe he was feeling a little more unsure of himself. I'm not sure. So, and I know we can't force those things, but in your schools, or we talked about that a little bit in Daryl's workshop, but that attitude of discipleship, that attitude of really joyfully serving, but if they don't know the King, you can't force that, can you? But you can still create an atmosphere, can't we? Somehow. Brother? What's that? Random acts of kindness. Can you expand on that?
Well, you can just periodically and help them, let them help decide kind of the focus of that. And but it does groups, certain groups of the school will get together and they will break leaves or they may clean the gutters or they may
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any others on that? So you think they would a good chance they would do a lot of tearing around, you say?
Well, we need to know about where their limits.
Yeah.
How much should that keep?
Tear around. When we rake leaves, we generally jump in the leaves. But I'm sure that's what you're talking about. That's maybe part of your joyful serving.
Yeah. I think if it's spontaneous fun, I don't think we have to worry. But if it gets to fighting, that's another thing. I think another thing I think of as we look in ways to serve, and maybe we should just expand that now. As we look in the ways of serving as schools, I think family parental involvement is fairly important if we can do that. And the more adults you have, the more that can keep the children, you know, supervised without a lot of pressure on the teacher and still give them the opportunity. Now, the things you saw here, can that work in a school? I think that's where we'll just go to here now. Can that work, or is it too cumbersome, or is parts of it? So you have random acts of kindness. You go to an older sister's house in church, and you rake leaves. Is there a place? I'm not sure. Can you say, okay, we want to get involved in people in town? We want to give our students a picture of those less fortunate in town. I think we all are aware of it, that we are, well, I know I grew up that way. I had that feeling, you know, very little awareness of what poverty, the faces of poverty. Can the church do something for that or not? Can the school do something? I think the church can. Can the school do something for that? That's a very good example, and the thing that the church stepping in, I think, is ideal. Excuse me? Okay, that's a good point. The children have the vision and desire. Suppose the children don't have the vision and the desire. I don't. And we as adults don't either. You know, it's we know that now. You know, it's so easy for us say, I think in all of our churches we have our projects. We go to the nursing homes. We pass out tracts. We go to the rescue mission. All good things. But if we don't have a vision for it, what does it become? Time to go to the rescue mission, right? Oh, well, I'm done. Good. So it takes work, on my part at least, to keep that vision alive and the purpose for what we're serving. And I think that is, whether it's children or adults, you know, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's our purpose. Okay, so any other thoughts on... So some children, that's ideal if they have the vision. But if they don't have the vision, teachers need their... So okay, I'm talking to directors. I'm talking to school board members. So... Do you have words of wisdom how you can help your schools?
Simply doing it. I think that's what we're hearing coming out here. Simply doing it. The children get the vision by doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that happened for me in my childhood when it got arranged. We would go and help a local fellow whose health was declining. His wife had died. And we went and did that work. And that's part of a good memory that I have that dovetailed exactly with the thing that
Mm-hmm. Amen. there is love. That's right.
You're the one that arranges for the bags and arranges for the trailer, arranges for the rates and everything else, and says, now we'd like, you know, some afternoon, what suits, we're going to go do this. Now we have a win.
Yeah.
Just going to make the point, not every, all the projects have to be group projects.
That's right.
We can encourage individuals.
Yeah. That's very good. But I think important is that they give feedback when they come back, that the others hear what has been going on. Okay, so I'm just taking that a step further then. So before you even start doing, isn't it, I'm just talking, and if I'm, you know, I'm not on a school board, and but if a school board would say, hey, you know, we really see, we have this vision, we see the need of emphasizing, cultivating a heart for service more. And the school board starts talking about that, starts talking about to the teachers about it, and that the teachers can get the vision with you as school board members, and that it's a collective vision before you, well, yeah, you can always go help someone, but I believe the more that we are together on it, the more effective it will be as we reach out.
How do you get parents involved without selling them on the idea first?
No, it'll be difficult. And I think if, I don't know how your schools are organized or your parent-teachers meetings, but if you can have, and here again I'm just talking out of not knowing your context, but if you can tell them saying, this is what we would like to do and this is what we would suggest. But I think it's important that the teachers, the school board, has a kind of a clear plan of action how it could be done before you go to the parents. If it's just a loosely, it'd be neat if we could serve the community better. What are you talking about? But if you know this is what we hope to do, maybe once a month we hope to organize something that a class or part of a class can go and rake someone's leaves or clean somebody's or, you know, yard or even paint or whatever the age applies. But and then the parents can visualize what it would take and says, we need your parents' support. And we think it's important because we're living in an affluent society and our children don't see a lot of needs. And we want our children to see needs, and we also want to leave a testimony to the local community and let the parents know why you want that and why you think it's important. Does that make sense?
It needs to be enthusiasm, but I don't think we realize how much a family setting, a parents working with their children, speak to the community.
Amen.
Just a mother and a father and the real mom and the real dad,
yeah,
and the real children getting together, doing something together.
That's right. We don't understand. We just underestimate the powerful testimony that a family working together can leave, and I can verify that. I like the one roof we were working on. It was the father with his boys, and so a roofing company had furnished the materials, and he just stood there looking at him. He was older, and he said, "You know, that's what I did when I was young. That's what I did." Kids today, they can barely hold a hammer. You know, they don't know how to do anything. I'm just quoting him. And so that's like just affirming what you said. I'm sorry. You lost me on that one. Butcher. Oh, Mutcher. Still hasn't helped a lot.
Who's always there for a free hand.
Okay, okay.
And he's not very well respected because of that. And we went to a local soup kitchen one year before Christmas, and there he was. And so this past year, we went up again before Christmas. And so we went to Matthew, I think it's 25, where Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it on the least of these, my brethren." And I pointed out to them that you may see Art Schwartz sitting there, but that's actually Jesus.
Amen. That's a good point. Amen.
They listened with wide open ears, and when we went there, sure enough, he showed up. And so my boys gathered around him and all asked him what his latest joke was, because he's kind of known for that too. And just a little bit of respect and interest there, rather than scorn when they see that type of thing.
Thank you very much for sharing that. I appreciate that so much. Yeah. That's right. Thank you. I remember that. So using that as a teaching opportunity, when you see wrong responses, then remind them of those people's situations and what, how it must hurt. If you'd be in that situation, your tendency would be to get angry. And how important kindness is. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's right. we came up with a paper that for the people to sign. I don't do very well in remembering it, but I usually try to, if I think of it, I say, okay, here we have this paper. Now, can we do this with a handshake, or do you need to sign this? I prefer doing it that way. Labor laws, you know, no. Because I think if people see it's a volunteer organization, I know when we first started, the city, you know, the inspection department was a little edgy, and then we worked on the umbrella of a local, it's called Interfaith Housing. It's a large, recognized organization, and we still work with them, under them. Then we work under them, we're covered by them. But then we also don't always, but because of the reputation that has built up during that time, if we come in, no questions, no problems so far. And I know that's always a question of not being careless with the laws, but also not letting the laws cripple you, you know. We try not, you know, obviously, like the roofs that these young children worked on, you know, were not, you know, not steep roofs. You know, they were safe. They were low, so, relatively.
Most of the work happening on Saturdays and evenings?
No, mostly during the week. But we'll probably have to switch sometimes on Saturdays, depending on the situation. And also, of course, now nothing happens evenings. But, yeah, bigger projects. Yeah, I didn't take time to think that question through. The big projects would be like often Friday afternoons and Saturdays. Small projects during the week, where, you know, a retired brother with some youth people can do it, or a homeschooling sons. We have a list. We know which ones are kind of on the availability list. And I should say that, too, there's from the other churches in the community have also volunteered. Like now, there's a young fellow that volunteers for a day a week, and another one who's available about all of the time. He quit his steady job. And he said, I just want to be available. And he does other things too, but Hands of Christ is one of those things. And so that's just a special blessing. Instead of me running after everything, I can give him a call and he can take care of it. So that's a blessing. But we may not neglect the church then either.
So are you pulling children out of school to work on this?
No.
Homeschooled children?
These are basically all homeschooled children.
So if you think hypothetically a little bit, if you would have a school, would you want to be involving them in this? Like, you would sort of envision maybe starting the project yourself, the organization would be responsible for it, but then they could pull from the school or something like that.
I think that could be, in other words, I was trying to think, you know, our school hasn't been involved that much through the school, you know, evenings, summer, but it's not as through the school. So yeah, that would be, I could see if the church would start an organization like this, a ministry like this. This is what you're saying, right? And then you would say, now let's involve the school as well, right? I think it could work. The main thing is that the person in this, there would be someone in the school who keeps the vision alive. There has to be teaching given in the school. That it's not just work projects, but I think it could work. Yeah. And I think, and that's where I felt kind of, you know, when I was asked to come, you know, I wasn't sure how to make this work in school. And I think that's where this is a good time to talk about that. How could it work? And I think that would be a good idea if the church would have a vision and the school would come along the side of as a school.
I don't know what is being done in your community with art class, but it seems like as I circulate and find out what are you doing for art, what we do for art, we raise hot dogs in the fall and
What's that again?
It's really worth tearing apart a loaf of bread and using.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think our school would have more of a structured art classes, but I'm not sure. I think taught by one of the mothers. yeah, but I think that each school would have to look and see, but if there could be something regularly started, I think several things. What happens first? The heart or practical helping? You can go around and round, but if you wait till everything is in order in the heart before you start reaching out, then it won't ever happen, will it? But if you just focus on the practical part and don't try to minister to the heart, that's not the answer either. But if we can try to do the two together, and then the point is you have a combination of random acts of kindness, but also the importance of working of something organized, that they know, okay, regularly we're going out and we're going to minister. But along with that, we have teaching, why we're going and what the needs are. And I think along with that, too, is that I would really encourage you is get speakers in, or somehow, if you know yourself, find out, help your students see some of the faces of poverty, somehow.
I think our students are very privileged, and it's a blessing, but they also get a little sheltered.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't even have a vision that we have.
Well, that's, yeah. They don't have the vision that we have.
But enthusiasm goes a long way when you have something.
That's right. And if the parents have the vision, mm-hmm. if the teachers have the vision, the school board has the vision, that's going to help a lot with the students. But if we're strapped down with the urgent and the things, and I know how it is, the schedules, and I know what fits in, and I think that's, if it doesn't fit in, then it doesn't fit in. But if you say there is a place in your school for this project, for this kind of ministry, and to awaken this attitude of service, then let's try to do that. Daryl?
How this took off. And this paper, obviously, Ellis really thought through this and had a plan that was workable. But how can something like this just start from a single person?
Well, I'm sorry. You must have forgot one of the points. That is God's anointing and His leading.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, when I look back at that, no, someone putting those words down, it's not going to go anywhere. And I'm not sure anyone knew about it for a year after he wrote it.
Wasn't a project or anything like
no. He says here, you know, it's pretty open what he thought about a center. He says, I've appreciated our congregation. But however, I have a burden that we not only experience life in the body, that's in the beginning here, but that we also reach out to minister to the community around us and call them to life in Christ. This paper gives one idea of how this could work. So that was a burden I think the Lord gave to him, and he wrote it down. But I think it was quite a while. I think it was in when these other young brothers started talking about it. He said, yeah, I wrote it. So, and otherwise, you know how difficult that could be to mobilize a whole congregation. And that the congregation is supporting me. I don't have any other job. No. And so, you know, I stand just amazed. And it's just so humbling and such a privilege to be a part of that. And so you know how hard that can be. And I know we have a larger congregation, a younger congregation couldn't do that. But he wrote it down, and then others took it up, and you just said, well, Lord, had to be you that was directing that. And I can go ahead. Yeah.
And but one of the things I've noticed now, being a part of several of those, or being at least fairly well acquainted with several of those, is we want to get established. We want to get our businesses going.
Yeah.
And then we get our businesses going, then we want to grow the business more. And we can become consumed with materialism, even though we were the pioneers, as it were, in stepping out of those larger communities into the smaller communities.
Mm-hmm. I follow you. Because you have to work hard to get to make it, and then if it goes, then it grows, and you have to keep ahead of it. And yeah, and there's nothing automatic about anything, but what's been encouraging to me is that the young people in our community who are making choices, who are saying, making money is not my first priority. And it's just been really encouraging to see that. But they have to see a reason. One thing, you know, they have to see a reason why they're doing it. They're not just, they got the idea. It's not just about doing something. And that's where I don't like if people talk about our handyman ministry. I know what they mean. But, you know, it goes deeper than that. And you want people to get that vision. So I don't know if, go ahead, brother. We have, like, the one I mentor, yeah. Not, we could maybe more, but yeah, we try to do that as much as we can. It's a very good point. Mm-hmm. And another thing, I lost my train of thought. Really something I wanted to say. involving people. It'll come to me maybe later. But but the one thing is, too, that the difficulty of, you know, it can be pretty simple to say, you know, provide simple acts of service, form friendships, and discipleship. It sounds easy on paper, but in the long haul, that can be quite a challenge to meet the spiritual needs of people. Yeah, but it's a real joy.
That's where I see the advantage of working with the church.
Yeah.
For us as a school to do that, the spiritual side is going to be difficult. I mean, we can involve our students and show them that aspect, but to get them involved in that aspect,
no.
Outside of their school.
No. That would be, yeah.
I've also been challenged with the other year when we did our project, and again this year, just thinking about getting the students involved. Jesus didn't say for no reason that we should become as little children.
That's right.
They have a simple faith and a simple heart to serve. There are exceptions, but overall, even the heart.
Yeah.
You give them an opportunity to serve, and they just love that.
Yeah.
Chance, especially the younger group.
That's right.
Once they get into their teenage years.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, if we can give them that opportunity, oftentimes it's amazing how quickly they go beyond our enthusiasm and their willingness to get out there and do something.
That's right. Amen. That's very true.
Yes, one thought that comes to me. We've been talking a lot about how we get children to be enthused about something like that, but I had to ask myself, I guess, how often do the children have a vision for something? Father, or we as adults sit there and say, let's not even go there.
Yeah.
Life is busy enough.
Yeah.
If they have a vision, then let's encourage that.
Yeah.
Let's help that along.
That's right. Build on the vision. So can we pull this all together? I think, you know, we can look at God's leading, and that's so imperative, but we can go home and we can pray about it and see, is the Lord leading us as schools to get involved? Then we know it's limited. It'll leave a witness of children serving, and it'll give the children an opportunity to serve, and maybe some kind of friendship, but it won't go this deep. Or will it be a part of the outreach of the church? Yeah. That's right. And that's a good example of then how practical service leads to a ministry of the heart. And I think ideally it is if parents are involved with those types of things, but if the school can then also come along the side. But I really appreciate that example.
I appreciate the stress on preparing the students. I know the first time I took my students to a nursing home, it was let's get out of here as quickly as possible. But then preparing them for let's play crokinole and some do different activities, whether you're reading with them, and the last few times I can hardly drag them out of there anymore. And it's a really good experience to spend time in a nursing home, whether you're playing crokinole or taking card games along. It's amazing how some of the old card games they can play, Old Maid and you name it, they get right into it. Reading, the old folks will be quoting God for 6 minutes.
Well, appreciate that. Nursing home ministry. That's right. So she was saying their school needed more practice for a Christmas program, so they went to the nursing home and gave it, presented it, and they just loved it. Let's face it. I need to be careful with this one. We minister a lot to each other, right? Which is right, but I struggle with that. I challenge all of us to think about that. How can we encourage not over ministering to one another and minister more outwardly as well, especially on a social level, even? So that made me think of that. Because, you know, giving a Christmas program, what would happen if we prepare a Christmas program for a whole bunch of nursing homes in the community? You go around and give Christmas programs to them.
We do that and it works. It's wonderful.
Well, good. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I love that. So instead of putting all the energy in one big presentation for the community, you can also do that, but you can also include the nursing home. Thank you. I like that. Okay. I'd like to just spend a few minutes with this paper. So this is, now we're leaving the school a little bit, but I just thought, and you'll read it, but I would like to give a few points that he brings out here that was helpful for me and could be helpful for you. So on the first page, he says why we need it. He talks about our church not owning an outreach ministry. And then he says, he has two paragraphs that begins with outreach provides. Outreach provides a common focus for the congregation. So you have a lot of diversity within any church, and you have a lot of people going different ways, but if everyone is involved with an outreach, it provides, there's something unified about that focus. And the last sentence I'd like to read on that paragraph, perhaps as never before, this is a time that we need a unity and common focus. Ultimately, this comes from Christ himself, but working together in his kingdom will help strengthen that unity and common focus. And then the next is the one I have you have on your handout, the colored paper. Outreach provides a practical context in which to flesh out our faith and practice. And I think this paragraph really talks to what a lot of us face. We have been wrestling with how we can build on the foundations of our traditions in positive ways while continuing to engage the culture around us and change in positive ways. These are issues we will need to continually to wrestle with for a long time to come. By being engaged in evangelism and hopefully by working to integrate new believers into our fellowship, we will have a real context in which to continue this vital discussion. And I think that is something we all deal with. We value our tradition, we value our heritage, but we know that God has not given that just for our own enjoyment. He's given it to us for a purpose, but if we're not careful, we'll throw it away. There's always a risk when we reach out, always. And so we need to have that tension, and it needs. So that's why we need God's wisdom and each other and the Bible as we reach out. That last paragraph, congregational outreach harnesses the potential of a large church. Now, he goes into a lot of detail. It doesn't quite work as easy as he said there, but it does harness the potential of a large church, that's for sure. And it's just been that's been so encouraging is to see the church be so supportive. I have not called anyone anytime ever to say, I'm not interested. They always said, really wish I could, but this time it just doesn't work. But always a willing heart, and it's just been a real blessing. Okay. Any other thoughts? I think I'm finished. But it's just been real enriching for me, and I think we can ask the Lord to guide us and to show us his way. I would like to read the verse at the bottom of the page, John 15:5, where Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So that's where it all starts, is in him. So I think we're just going to, unless someone else has something to say yet, we're going to bow our heads for prayer and just like to leave it open for anyone to lead out and especially pray for ourselves and our schools and our churches that God would give us wisdom and direction. Shall we pray? I'll lead out and then I'll close. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this little short time together of talking about ways to serve you, and we confess we have missed it so many times, and we've had wrong attitudes, derogatory attitudes, or me-centered attitudes, but Lord, we want to have your mind, and so would you work in us and work through us to do that which is pleasing in your sight, Lord. We just open our hearts to you this afternoon.
sympathize with the people that they live with. I just pray, Lord, you would give us more love for our neighbors.
Yes, God.
Soften our hearts.
Let's together pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. There's, like everyone else, a lot of nice, interesting stories.
So you quit your job and did this full time?
Yeah, well, I have to, the context is this. We came
in
Belgium, and so we came back 6 years ago.
Okay.
And so getting an 8-hour job was really, I hadn't done that for years. Okay. And so it was just like a gift from heaven to be given this.
Sure.
So yeah. So you look familiar somehow. Where are you from?
I'm actually Michigan.
You know Roman and...
He's my uncle.
Oh, Roman Miller? Yeah, okay. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Those are powerful things there.
That is. I mean, that melts people.
It does.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.